State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect.
I've been so curious about the artist that I'm about to interview today. I love that checking in. We have a variety of guests that check in, whether it's a doctor, an author, entrepreneur, artist. I'm really excited about this Grammy-nominated artist and writer. Truly authentic, truly an original, but with some respectable influences that you can hear in his tone and in his style. I'm getting ready for this guy right here. Y'all stay tuned, get locked in. Come on in, Raheem Devon is up next. Hey everybody, welcome to another fun, awesome episode of Checking In. Now this might be a little... well, I don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to let it do what it's going to do. I am just really, really thrilled to have an amazing artist. I really think in every sense of the word, artist, he's so intentional with his work. He's so intentional with the music. He's so intentional with his art. I'm excited that we have 4-time Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter. We already know his debut album and his albums, period, continue to do wonders in our souls, at least mine. Don't be nosy. Y'all welcome Raheem Devon to Checking In.
Hello, hello, Checking In. This is Raheem Devon, love king forever. I'm checking in officially right now.
Listen, thank you for checking in. What did you think when they were like, yo, you gonna check in with Michelle Williams? What was your thought?
Oh, you know, some you have in life, you get certain calls where, you know, some people call and you try to figure out, oh, what's my schedule? Da, da, da. And you got other people that call And when you call, you just say, okay, when and where. So this was like a when and where, I would love to do it, opportunity. So thank you again for having me. Congratulations on your, you know, all your endeavors, of course, things you already accomplished. And, you know, it's always about, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? The incline and the growth, you know what I mean? And doing new things. So I know this is one of your new things, passion projects. So thank you so much for having me be part of that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get a chance to talk to some of my favorite voices, and I think you are classic and timeless. At the same time, you evolve and grow, but you still are one of the classic voices. And when I say classic, y'all, it ain't because he came out in 1982 or 1975. He has been around this game. Listen, let's check it. Let's check it. Now he could have some stuff that I'm not privy to, maybe back in the MySpace days, but all the way back to 2005.
Yeah.
Classic, timeless. How are you feeling out in the streets to know that you've been in this game a long time?
It's amazing. Like, you know, I'm in young OG mode at this point. You know, I'm able to get a game to younger artists. I had an amazing day yesterday, which, you know, involved connecting with an artist that I already have known for some time. It's like revamping their thing as an independent artist. And then there's a new artist, Jordan. I can't remember Jordan's last name, but he's going kind of like viral on the internet right now. And we have been communicating, and it happened to be with Jordan. So we got a chance to have an opportunity to talk. But then I spoke to another indie artist. This is all like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. This is all going on while I'm at the studio, by the way. And I say that to say this is that, you know, it gives me an opportunity to be able to, like, you know, spit the game to younger artists and share them my experiences and what it's been. You know, I've always operated as an independent, you know, my own independent artist with my artistry, but, you know, to be independent over 10 years, you know, and to be able to do everything that people see, I'm now starting to understand how it looks from the outside in. Mm. I've been so focused, like tunnel vision, on what it is, what the mission is, what the goal is, you know, reinventing myself constantly and just the things that, you know, because it's a, you know, work, supporting yourself as an independent artist is like you become your own passion project.
Okay.
So you have to have like tunnel vision, focus on it. You have to know certain things, not believe, but like, know. You have to, you have to know, you have to be borderline. I don't know. I mean, you have to kind of go as artists. I think we are a little insane. You know, we're all a little touched in the sense of like to be able to, you know, bear our soul, you know, convey our emotions, heal people, you know, whatever the process is through our gift of the arts, you know, in a room full of strangers. And I guess it's the most, one of the most vulnerable things that you can do, you know, to go in a studio and create a song that, you know, speaks from your point of view or something that you're wearing on your sleeve or something vicariously that you've experienced and to share that. And then to go and give that to the world is one of the most vulnerable things you can do. So, you know, it takes a very tough skin to do what we do. And I would just say that, you know, sometimes a season happens at different, it doesn't happen when you pray for it sometimes. It doesn't happen when you think that you're ready for it. It doesn't happen because you want it right now. You know, everything that you experience prepares you for your season, and everybody has one. Like, you know, so you have to be able to identify when you win it, you know. So for me, I think I can really say that, you know, at this point in my career, like, I'm in my season, you know, and it's a good, I'm in a good space, you know, usually.
That's so good. I love that you say that everybody has a season. Now, we all know the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Then you have where some people say, I'm in my winning season. Mm-hmm. Can you explain, heck, maybe you feel like you've always been in your winning season. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a season of wait? This is my waiting season. Or a season of transition, a season of uncertainty.
Yes. All of those things I think have prepared me for, like, for my winning season, which is all seasons now. You know what I mean? Like, that's That's where I'm in it. I'm forever in my bag. That's how I feel, you know, like mentally, I'm in that mental space that I'm forever in my bag. Like musically, I know that I can go in the studio at any given time and something amazing, something timeless can come out. I can curate something that speaks to, you know, not only my 1% demo of like 18-year-olds, but also my 27% demo of like that 35 to 45, you know what I mean? Or that 28, you know, to 32, you know, so age group. So, you know, and, you know, seeing the shows is kind of like the proof in the pudding because, you know, I do the meet and greets and it's like the mother and the daughter there. You know what I mean? Somebody, the mother, the daughter, the mother, the daughter, and the grandmother, the mother, the daughter, and the grandfather. You know what I mean? So it's interesting, you know, like, you know, music is not only the heartbeat of our people, you know what I mean? But it's the heartbeat of like the world. It doesn't, you know, I truly believe that, you know, music is colorblind, you know, great music, you know, is colorblind, it's genderless, it's all the things, you know, that brings all these people together from different walks of life to come here, whatever it is, the messages that you're conveying, you know?
That's so good. Y'all don't get the pleasure of seeing him on this video like I do. When I tell y'all, he is suited and booted, the glasses are on, the skin is moisturized, the hair has been washed and conditioned. I'm so happy about that. I'm so excited to have you here. Now, one thing I know, if Raheem Devon don't do nothing else, he is going to give us music. You've got 3 albums that you've released within the same year. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm on a system of like putting out, you know, 3 to 4 projects a year. You know what I mean? You know, tentatively, you know, even for 2024, some things that you know, wrapping up that I'm involved in, you know, it's the business model is expanding now. Like, you know, it doesn't always have to be me in the front and center, you know, in some cases it may be me presenting a project that, you know, I produced or executively produced. And, you know, so in some cases it may be a Raheem Devon Presents, you know, or it may be a 3-song pack, you know, of something that is me, you know. It may be a female artist, say like Tanya Nolan, who's a phenomenal independent artist out of the Houston area. She's self-made, you know. We connected during the duet that we did, Pace Yourself, and had a relationship from there, and it just kind of just like grew. Shout out to Corey Moe, who connected us, and one of the things that Corey initially asked me when he talked to me about time was saying like, hey man, I would love to see you take her under your wing and kind of just show her the tools and the, you know, the secret sauce, you know what I mean? And so we've been able to connect and do that. And that's morphed into me like, you know, literally like, you know, co-executive producing her first official like project or, you know, which will be dropping sometime this year. So it's been great to be able to go from being the clay to allowing myself to work with artists who like trust me with their art, which I feel like is a sacred thing. You know, I constantly tell artists like Tanya and different individuals I'm working with currently, it's like, hey, yo, like, thank you for trusting me with your art, because it means that, you know, I know that's a vulnerable space to be in. You know, it's not about your hard-earned money that you're investing into yourself. It's more about, for me, it's about the art. Nothing moves without the music. And people want something they can hear and feel and that has a nostalgia to it. And you know what I mean? So, yeah. So giving myself to the art in a different way, taking time to work with newer artists and stuff of that nature and features, you know, gives me an opportunity to show myself in a different light, which was a space that I grew into because as a songwriter, a producer and a vocal producer, there is a patience that's required. There's a level of patience. It's a level of patience and communication you have to have with someone that's coming into the studio, you know, in some cases, a lot of times working with you for the first time. In some cases, they you know, depending on who they're signed to or what the politics are, they might not even want to be there. They kind of just they were either told to be there or, you know, it's kind of like, all right, they're stepping out of their comfort zone, so they're looking for something new, or You know what I mean? And again, that's, you know, it's the vulnerability that can create, you know, I wanted to be fun for them. I want it to be a learning experience for them. I want to create something that's great, that's iconic, and it's amazing. But I also, I wanted to be those things for me as well. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
Yeah. So it's, again, it allows me to be able to just like put out and be part of different, you know, projects versus doing like one song, you know what I mean? And just kind of just like chasing the single, or I don't necessarily even want to call them like EPs or albums now at this time. It's just like projects, you know what I mean? Because a project may be, you know, like I said, two or three songs. A project may be 15 tunes. A project may be five, you know, songs, you know, and or it may be a soundtrack for a film or independent film, you know.
I am here for everything. That's why I've just been sitting here listening, because I mean, you're answering so many questions.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Now, the latest three albums that you released in the last year, Love Euphoria, mm-hmm. The Summer of Love, and Fall in Love. Now, would you, I'm assuming, like, could I call it a trilogy?
If it would be a trilogy, it was a trilogy long ago. Like, for the cult following fans, like, you know, love has always been, you know, the word love has always been intertwined in some form or fashion, like in all the projects. It's something that just kind of just continue to figure out and do in real time. You know, that's from the love experience to Love Behind the Melody to Love of War Masterpiece to a place called Loveland, Love Such Passion.
Yes!
Decade of a Love King, you know, from Lust to Dawn, which was like a passion project, you know, which I connected with a lot of different artists from, you know, social media at that time, and, you know, some of which I'm still working with, two of which I'm in the mastering stage of their projects. So, you know, these things
take
time.
You've been busy.
These things take time, you know.
So if you've been that busy,
yeah.
How you be finding time to be doing some of the stuff that's in your album? If you pick up what I'm putting down.
It's always what they say, we always make time for the things we love. We make time, ooh-oh, you know. If you're a praying woman, you know, praying man, you're gonna find time, make time to pray, you know, just like you're gonna make time to lay, you know what I mean? You got to pray before you lay.
All right. All right. Come on, pray.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess I am lyrically a lover, not a fighter, you know.
Oh.
But I also understand, like, it's my gift, you know what I mean? Like, I've coined and carved out a lane for myself that that when people get the music and receive it or hear there's a new project, I know what the expectation is, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And part of, you know, part of my rebranding, part of my you know, the secret to my success, you know what I mean? You know, and part of being in your season is knowing that it's knowing and loving who you are and knowing who you ain't and who you are, you know what I mean, as well. Like,
yes.
it's knowing what you are and who you are, as well as knowing who you're not and what you will never be and what you don't desire to be. And, you know, and then moving on intention of it. Like, you know,
so good.
Yeah. So that, you know, for me, you know, it allows me to be the conscious lover, you know, or the Mr. Jiggy conscious.
Mm-hmm,
or, you mm-hmm. know, one of the many attributes that I have, you know what I mean? Nicknames, you know, so.
Ooh, what's the nicknames? For me to sit in the seat that I'm in, you have to be naturally curious, not nosy.
I have a lot of monikers, you know, because, you know, so the R&B hippie neo soul rock star, AKA Soup Cooler Jones, AKA Smokey Temptations, the Lip God.
The who God?
The Lip God.
Lip or limp?
Yeah,
lip. I thought you said lip.
Yeah, lip. L-I-P. L-I-P.
L-I-P. I thought he said limp God.
Capital L-I-P.
Capital, all caps, L-I-P.
Yeah, Young Marvin, Marley Mayfield. Which is one of my favorites, you know. So the list goes on. I mean, these days it's the love.
It's so funny you should say all of those names because I hear all of those influence. Okay, Marley Gay Mayfield.
Yeah, Marvin. Yeah, Young Marvin, Marley Mayfield. Yeah,
and I'll say Isley's as well.
Absolutely.
Isley Brothers, and on the latest album, there is someone that is speaking, mm-hmm. who is giving me, is it Jamaican, Nigerian, the woman doing the interludes?
Rob Brown is half Black, half Filipino. Yeah.
What? I need to go back and listen.
She grew up in Philly, you know what I mean? Like, she actually went to school with, like, Jill Scott, and she's special. She's a really dope spoken word artist and a phenomenal, like, writer. Like, she does a lot of writing for different projects, you know, outside of, like, the conventional, like, making records and making albums, you know,
yes.
what I mean? world, you know.
Yes.
She's been part of my journey, whether she knows it or not. And I went back to, like, kind of, like, go grab her at the right time. And, like, you know, I want to start incorporating, you know, spoken word artists and poetry into what I do. So, you know, the first open mic that I ever touched in DC, she was the host. You're talking over 25 years ago, you know what I mean?
Sheesh.
Like, So taking it back there, like before the world knew my name, like, you know, there was a spot I would go to, Bar None, which a lot of people think I was discovered there, but that was where I went to kind of just like shed. It definitely had the Love Jones. It was giving like Love Jones vibes when you go in there, you know, but you had spoken word artists, you had MCs, you had singers, you had instrumentalists, you know, that would go through there. And, you know, that became the hub and my safe space to be able to go and be vulnerable and, you know, and work on my craft, you know, and get comfortable performing in front of people. My first CD or mixtape that I sold out of a knapsack, like out of a book bag, was like at Bar None. So,
and people got to know that part of the journey.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. It was
the knapsack, it was Bar None, it was the green Camry. It had this little beat up green Camry. Toyota Camry, and I used to, you know, and I used to basically like hand to hand, you know, sell my music.
So you knew you were dope. You knew, and that confidence that I see now in 2024.
I knew I had something special. I knew that it was that I was still developing it, but yeah, I knew back then that I had something that was unique, and more importantly that. When I would jump off the mic, I would see the reaction or like the questions. People would be like, yo, where can I get that song? So that let me know that I was creating a demand and that, you know, the hustler in me said, okay, well, if they're asking for it, then, you know, then I got to get product.
Yeah.
Immediately. I mean, whether that means like buying a CD burner and, you know, the quality might not be what we might think it needs to be, you know, but I have to start somewhere, you know, and, And that's always been my, you know, that's always been my mentality. That's always been my goal and understanding that, you know, you start somewhere, you know, and then from there you evolve. You keep moving, you know, you keep moving. I look at my career, I look at my life as a marathon, you know, it's never been a sprint, you know, it's always been that like, hey, I'm gonna get on these track with these individuals, with my peers, you know, whom I love, but you know, it's a very competitive business. So I'm going to get on this track and I'm going to start to run. And when they say, oh, your mark, you say, go,
yeah.
I'm going to start running. And I'm going to like, and if I get tired, I'm going to walk, you know, you don't let the feet stop moving. You know what I mean?
Like, that's great.
Get thirsty. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, there's no I in the word team. So you might have a team member that runs up and gives you, you know, something to drink. But if the game and the rules of the game are, hey, when this race starts, the last person that whose feet are still moving will be declared the winner, then, you know, my mindset is that, okay, I'm just going to just like, but you can do whatever you need to do necessarily. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you need to do in the process. If you need somebody to hand you a sandwich because you're hungry, as long as your feet don't stop moving, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's a vibe.
You run your race, you're quiet about it, but you still have results. You're not like the loud, arrogant. It don't seem like you have beefs with anybody in these R&B streets that I know of.
Yeah.
You seem to know your niche. Like, and I don't want to say, because some people are like, you know your lane, because that means what you say, I can't go to the middle lane if I want to. I can't go to the left lane. But your niche or your sound, did that take a while for you to discover?
My sound, I think that happened organically. I being able to have mentors like DJ Jazzy Jeff, like that ain't your average, you know, having access to somebody like that. Let me just start there. If you know, you know. Jeff has always created an environment for artists. I would describe it as like X-Men.
Mm.
He would be, what's it, Professor X?
Yeah,
like he would be the equivalent of like that for me or for us, you know, the rooms I've been in with the level of talent, like the caliber of talent, like not just in here in the U.S., but like globally, like the meetups I've been in and what I've experienced being under his watch. You know what I mean? He was at a very important time, like he was there, you know, he took me under his wing and learning from him. You know, the relationships, the people that I met as a result from kicking it with him and being around him in this cool musical environment, you know, Kenny Dope and Louis Vega and DJ Terry Hunter, you know, who are like world renowned, like DJs and producers, and seeing the world and going, you know, Jeff taking myself and other artists like around the world at a time where, you know, when my brand was still building, and being able to just understand that like music or R&B and like soul music is just one genre of music. Let's just start there. And that it's a very big world and a lot of people love, you know, there are people that love what we do and what we create that don't even speak English in some places. Mm. You know what I mean?
I mean, we think it's corny, but I used to see it when I was growing up as a child, when music was actually in the schools, you would see the sign, music is a universal language.
Yeah. It is, you know, and those things help. You're developing, you're growing in real time. If you allow yourself to be, you know, it's easy to kind of put yourself in a box though too, you know, depending upon like, you know, listening to the label or listening to the A&R sometimes in some cases, you know what I mean? It can be one of the most toxic things for an artist, you know, but it's about knowing and trusting that gut, you know, the voice of intuition is God whispering in your ear, you know what I mean? So that gut feeling, that's the voice of God, like telling you, that's, you know, his universe saying like, hey, this is what you need to be doing. Then it morphs into like knowing I'm in a space where I know what I want it to feel like, taste like, smell like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Like look like, yeah, you know, so, you know, hence the 3-piece suits and the cologne. And,
I'm here for you know. It. I am here for it.
Can you smell the cologne through the speakers, baby?
I can smell it. It's given amber, sandalwood. It's given a little bit of, well, you said it in your song, it's given backwoods. It's given, although I'm like, now, wait a minute, don't mess up your vocal cords. It's given brown, sweet liquor. Y'all, if you know what I'm saying, it's given honey, butter. I'm hungry. It's giving everything sophisticated. I think it could be because of the season we're in, but if we were in the spring or summer, I would have said it's giving juniper. It's giving, I'm trying to stick to the smells because you probably don't want Bath and Body Work type scents.
I mean, that's cool. That's cool for the lady. I'm not like biased, you know, to a woman that, you know, uses Bath and Body Works, you know. I'm not biased. Me personally, you know what I mean? There's so many like dope black owned businesses out there.
Come on. There are.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
What are some of your favorites?
I'm a sucker for a woman that's, you know, that has that Carol's Daughter. But you gotta have like the source. You gotta get that. You know, word on the street is she does like she does like a batch. She still whips it up in the kitchen, you know, for some of her personal clients. Wait.
By the way, I know which batch you talking about. I know which batch you're talking about because I'll never forget back in the day in the early 2000s walking down the, it just takes me back to the brownstones of New York. I know exactly what batch you're talking about. I'm not nosy. I'm not going to ask nothing like specific as far as dating business. But what I do want to ask, because you are the love king, you say you people have called you the lip god. Do you find it pressure to be that or to be who you are as an artist? Is that who you are as a man in relationships? Or are you like, wait a minute, I don't feel like all that today. Yes, if you want me to just listen to track 12, but I can't be that right now. Have they expected you to be that in a day-to-day relationship?
Well, in transparency, like, you know, I'm not married, engaged, and I am dating, you know what I mean? Like, I'm happily like dating, like, you know.
Okay.
And just, like, you know, I think that, not to be cliche, but I would probably have to say, like, my wife, girlfriend, and mistress is, like, my music and career.
Ooh, yeah, he told you on Checking In with Michelle Williams, his wife, his girlfriend and his mistress is music, so don't have no expectations.
But I understand that, like, outside of that, like, you have to have experiences. You have to, you know, I understand the importance of, like, love and plutonic friendship and growth and allowing yourself to have experiences that you want to feel something. So with that being said, I want to make sure I'm ask your question one more time. I want to make sure I'm interpreting it. Like,
if I were dating a therapist, don't make him feel like the pressure to be the therapist.
I got you. Here we
like
are.
Like Raheem Devon, the artist, you know.
So yes, there have been times where I feel like pressure, but I think it has nothing to do with necessarily like even the it's just the fact that like who I am and just being a public figure. I was having this discussion every day and I feel like sometimes, you know, sometimes a woman may feel the need to be like, give me an extra hard time because I am who because of who I am. And because
she wants to know that you are what you sing about. You ain't romantic enough. What you talking about? You didn't grab my torso like you said in the music or you.
I don't really have that problem. I don't have that problem. Okay. And I think I don't have that problem. I think because to love me is to really know me, and to really know me is to know that like there's a lot of different shades and tones to me, and that perfect. You know,
that's good.
That like, and that, you know,
that's where I'm going to. That's something, that's good.
Yeah. You know, that can be very, you know, it kind of would tell me a lot about the person. You know what I mean? If the expectation because it can be kind of like superficial. You know what I mean? Or it can be like, it's like, hey, do you want Raheem Devon, the entertainer or the singer or the writer? Or are you here, you know, are you here for Raheem Devon, like the human being? Like, you know what I mean? The person, you know, the person who lost his father over a year ago, or the person who still figures out how to still be, you know, just still, you know, you never stop figuring out how to be a parent, you know what I mean? When you have children or could this be like the you know, the amount of what I'm providing in terms of, you know, being self-independent and being self-made, you know, I'm still providing jobs for people, you know, down to like my musicians and, you know, and what have you, you know, in an economy and in a space that where like people come out to buy a ticket for something, it's a luxury, regardless of what level you are in this business. You know, if you can fill seats during this time, like that's a unique gift to be able to fill seats, or to know that you can go and do the MGM and it's sold out already before you go to touch it. And
come on,
you know, and people are there because you provide a very unique service, you know what I mean? So it's like to know the man and to know the music and to know the lyrics is to really know the man behind the music and to know the, you know what I mean? So
yes,
which means like you got to come correct too, you know, as the woman who is, you know, pursuing, you know what I mean? I think in dating that the pursuit should be equally yoked. You know what I mean? I realize as a man that I like to be pursued, and that's not to be misunderstood or misconstrued.
You want to feel that they want you and they're going to put some work in.
Like, if you're the woman that's waiting by the phone for me to call you or like, you know, daily and, you know, whatever, you're not because... You know, I believe like if you think about me, then or like
show
you
it. Don't want to,
then show then reach out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So like, you know what I mean? So like, yeah. So it's, you know, hopefully I've answered the question.
No,
you know?
It has been amazing, and I was like, man, I want to make great use of our time together.
Yeah, for sure.
You've given me so much. You've given us so much. I was telling some folks that I was interviewing the other day, you literally are pouring. And I'm thankful for that. And I didn't want to come across offensive because I was like, man, sitting here and just wondering as I'm listening to music as a fan, I'm like, does he have pressure in that area?
I don't feel the pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm about that life. I talk that talk. I'm about that life.
So he's not a hypocrite. Like, you're not gonna.
But everything, you know. But everything ain't for everybody. You know, you do it in moderation, and you know, even in real time, you know, learning a lot about myself and dating, and you know, from my previous relationship, not to make the same mistakes and. It's like all of those things, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's cool being an artist, you know, I think that's the cool part is that you can go through things and then you can be your own muse for them and go in and, you know, use your gift to not only heal yourself, but to also heal, you know, music is healing for the listener, you know, it's therapeutic. In some cases, it's a dot connector to love and fatherhood and motherhood and just like all the things depending on, you know, what you're listening to, you know, and who you're listening to, and what you get from it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
You mentioned your father. I just wanted to ask you, he was a jazz musician.
Yes, yes. Abdul Wadud. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, though. Yes. Abdul Wadud. He was a jazz musician. And so were you the son that wanted to make sure that he loved your music? Was he excited or pleased? Did he ever participate creatively with you musically?
Yeah, he would hang out. Not many studio sessions he came to with me, but there's one that sticks out. And it was the night that I was recording the song Just Right. And he didn't make many suggestions that night. But one of the suggestions that he did make on the record is like, it's literally the way it is because of something that he suggested that I do, which was like, there's a bridge that happens, like a pre-hook that happens in that record, in that song. And to kind of make them different between the two, there's this one line where he was just like, yeah, just leave out the one word right there. And I'm like, okay. And me and the student, anybody that knows, like, I'm very kind of like, as far as like suggestions and stuff, where people like, hey, you should do, like, I hate that. Like, you know what I mean? So like, sometimes I just need the space to get out what I need to get in my head before, like, you know, and if I really like, you know, I'll ask an opinion, you know what I mean? But it was just like dad, and he made us in our
was he right? Was he?
Yeah, he was right, and the record's just right, and it came out just right, and it did what it did. You know what I mean? But yeah, like, you know, I think probably the part I missed the most is just like we would talk, you know, maybe 2-3 times a day. But even if it wasn't 2-3 times a day, he would always kind of like tap in after the show. Like, you know, whether 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you know, something about musicians who just, just like up at night. Right. Nocturnal. And he would just like tap in and you know, it's, you can have different, there's a different conversation that you can have, say with a parent who is in the music business versus one that's not. It's just a level, they just understand, we talk a different language.
Okay.
We talk a different language than most, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we're talking business or on a, you know, personal level, you know? But yeah, my dad, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, check out his work, Abdul Wadud. He was a child prodigy, cellist, and went on to teach like some of his amazing students who are now doing phenomenal things all around the world.
Wow.
And yeah, so yeah.
That's dope. My dad,
but I understand that, you know, it's the progression of life, you know what I mean? So I'm thankful to be able to say that I had the experiences that I had with him, you know, and to know that also, you know, they're definitely here in spirit, you know, saying our ancestors are here in spirit, you know, calling the plays, if you will.
Thank you so much for sharing. I understand I lost my father in 2020, but I rejoice in the fact that he was ready. It was time. It was mm-hmm. his time. It was his time. Still mm-hmm. miss him. Still miss him dearly. He is a huge musical influence. He was a DJ and he had like milk crates of vinyl just mm-hmm. from everything to Marvin Gaye to Aerosmith. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's why sometimes I had a hard time kind of figuring out, I think, what my sound was going to be. But I'm still a consumer to this day mm-hmm. of just all things, so many genres. Two more questions for you. Are there any sounds that you still have yet to explore sonically?
Yeah, definitely. There probably be a lot of things that, like, I'm in a space, I let that happen organically, you know?
Okay.
As far as
you don't
like,
force it, like I'm gonna okay.
Yeah. I let the music do what it tells me. I think probably the most eclectic record I have out right now is a record called Favorite Things to Do, which has a vintage Fela vibe to it. You know what I'm saying?
I love him.
Yeah, shout out to DJ Terry Hunter, who produced that out of Chicago, you know, but to kind of like show the diversity, like Terry also produced You, you know, for me, you know, many moons ago. So, you know, but again, you know, when I start getting in my bag and thinking about like the work that I've already done with like Kenny Dope in particular, right?
From okay, Masters of I'm Work. Gonna find it. I'm gonna find it. Yeah. If you see me looking down, because I was able to play Sandra Isidore. Mm-hmm. I was the original Sandra Isidore in the Fela touring production.
That was on Broadway.
Yeah, it was on Broadway.
I came to see that in New York. Yeah,
so it was on Broadway, yeah. But I mm-hmm. was in the Broadway producers took it mm-hmm. on the road. And oh, wow. I was the original Sandra Isidore on the road.
Oh man, that was incredible. Like, yeah.
I was introduced to his music in 2008. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I wish I knew of him in 1998. I just think.
Shout out to his son, to his kids and Femi, you know, this dude, you know, this is like the.
Yes.
He's like the split version of his dad. You know
and
what I mean?
Is. The, and
he got
is.
The heart of his dad. He got the heart of a lion. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so.
I'm excited. Okay, thank you for sharing that. Last but not least, the foundation of my podcast is regarding mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody has mental health, but everybody does not have mental illness. Even mm-hmm. you, Raheem, you mm-hmm. have mental health. You seem to be very grounded. You shared so much. But to the heart of that creative who might be struggling with their confidence,
mm-hmm.
to the creative who is just maybe they're just struggling in the area of their mental health. They are dealing mm-hmm. with depression or anxiety. Have you mm-hmm. ever walked that road where you're like, yeah, I've been down a little too long, or
oh, absolutely,
I've got
absolutely.
Some fear.
For the first time in my life, I willingly, intentionally started doing therapy, and it was like when I lost my dad.
Black King, come on!
Now, prior to that, I definitely probably was one of those people that thought I didn't need it or didn't get it, or like, you know, or thought that, you know, there had to be something like really going wrong to, you know, ironically, you know, mental health is like 1 degree separation for me. It's like very close, like so much so close that like, which I've never spoken about this publicly until now, right? Is that my dad has schizophrenia.
Wow.
And I've always been, you know, for whatever reason, as he got older and I got older, for whatever reason, I was probably the one person out of the family that could kind of like get him back on track, you know? So that became a thing for me, you know? So when I say like, it's 1 degree separation, I'm looking to go down a rabbit hole and
yes.
you know, and so that's something that's like, you know, very, it's, you know, having my foundation, doing the work that I've done community wise, revamping the foundation and with new initiatives, that is something like mental health is like something that's very important to me. And I understand it like in a way that most probably wouldn't, you know what I mean? Because again, on both sides of my family, like, you know, it's 1 degree, literally 1 degree.
Literally one degree.
Separation. So I understand that, like, you know, and I didn't understand until I started doing therapy, how important therapy is, you know, the tools and things that you can be given, the healing that can happen from it, and how you can identify the source of trauma. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes your source of trauma may be like, all roads may lead back to one person.
Yep.
And a series of events that's transpired, and then, you know, what they say, hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to get in tune with like your trauma and your hurt and your pain, because you don't want to be one of those hurt people that's just out here hurting people intentionally or unintentionally. You know what I mean? So yeah, the mental health is like in everything for me. You know, for anybody out there that's going through anything, is I would just say like in transparency, like again, as artists, like. You know, we remember that it's something about the TV or the Netflix or the radio or these, you know, or social media that just makes us look bigger than life. And that sometimes people forget that we're human beings and we bleed the same way you do. You know, we have the same losses that you do. We have the same anxieties. We have the same, in some cases, prayers. You know, I never try to claim the spirit of depression. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I feel like depression is a word. It kind of
it's data. It's just data.
I saw somebody say that. Can't remember where I saw this, but depression, it really stands for decompression. Like you need to. It just means that your avatar is tired,
mm-hmm.
and that you just need to let your avatar like decompress. You know what I'm saying? And whatever that process is, maybe that process is you know taking a quick trip or going somewhere and just like standing in the water or. You know, meditating or, you know, for some people, it's like a backwood, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I would suggest finding good ways to, you want to make sure that you're not running to like the bad habits.
The bad habits,
you know?
What we sometimes people feel like, what's a solution? It's really a distraction and they're not getting to the root of that pain.
Yeah,
you know, they're substituting it.
Yeah.
First of all, let me let you know that mm-hmm. Michelle Williams, and I'm sure folks that are with the Black Effect, whom my yeah. podcast is, you know, under mm-hmm. Charlamagne, who has the Mental Wealth Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, however we can, and yes, Charlamagne, I signed you up.
Yeah.
However I can get behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
In whatever it is in that mental health space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be following up because that's really big. And thank you for trusting my platform to share mm-hmm. what you shared. Y'all, there are so many things about the artist that we know and love. Like he said, go through the same things that we have. And mm-hmm. maybe he just didn't feel or there was a safe enough space to share what he shared. Again, therapy is not always about it doesn't always have to be about trauma. It can be, how can I unpack transition? How can mm-hmm. I get an unbiased opinion about how to deal with a loss. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Therapy is about trauma too, if you want to go there. Okay, so you have made yourself even more lovable by being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. took some vulnerability to share.
But that's where, you know, but again, that all kind of goes back to like, it goes back to the art and like, and you know, and it's why, you know, it's part of the, these are part of the things that like our challenges, our things that we deal with that we don't speak on, you know, they shape us, they mold us, you know what I mean? And, you know, so, you know, it kind of gives, when people kind of wonder why I move the way I move, or like people wouldn't believe some of the things unless they saw it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or heard it, or, you know, we had a conversation piece about it. So like, yeah, I'm looking forward to being more verbal. And, you know, again, mental health is just, it holds space, a lot of it purposely and intentional because of like, you know, it being a 1 degree separation thing for me.
Listen, thank you. Y'all, his foundation is called Love Life Foundation.
Yeah, the Love Life Foundation. Yeah. Yep.
It's committed to raising awareness and funds for domestic violence, education, homeless, mental illness, is that correct?
Homelessness is, mental health. Yeah.
Autism, cancer. Yeah. Listen, it's so well-rounded for music and arts, HIV and AIDS. If we can, matter of fact, I'm going to follow right now, Love Life DMV. And mm-hmm. as he said on one of his interludes, you can find him at Raheem_.
Devon.
On Facebook Raheem Devon. You can find him there. I think you poured so much. Thank you for checking in.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you for having me. We got to do it again, for sure.
Anytime. Okay, I did not expect this. And I'm so glad that he was just willing to share, because sometimes, you know, artists can be, you know, be wanting to be all cool and whatnot and not share, you know. But he was just absolutely a jewel. And we are dedicating this episode to his father, Abdul Wadud. And I'm grateful that Checking In is a safe space where people begin to share things that they probably normally wouldn't share. And he's got my full support and continued prayers and blessings. And to anybody out there, you've lost a loved one recently, just know that my heart goes out to you, and I'm wrapping my arms around your body as best as I can, and just praying for you and just wanting to send you some love as well. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.